CFWHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Peter King. Officials aren't saying it publicly, but
CBS News has learned the Biden administration has repeatedly tried to get Israel to delay a ground invasion of Gaza to prioritize the distribution of humanitarian aid and the release of the hostages Hamas is holding.
CBS's Natalie Brand, National Security Spokesman Admiral John Kirby, has just said they're trying to get a handle on how many Americans might be held.
We still have about 10 unaccounted for Americans, and it's not exactly clear to us where those 10 people are. So I would still categorize it as about a handful.
Another convoy of humanitarian aid has arrived in Gaza from Egypt. Doctors Without Borders executive director Avril Benoit says medical teams in Gaza are beyond stressed.
The people that are still there, nurses, other hospital staff who have still been going to those three hospitals that Doctors Without Borders supports, are exhausted. Some of them have lost their homes. They're separated from their families. They're working under extreme conditions.
Detroit police say there was no sign of a break-in at the home of a synagogue president found stabbed to death outside. Chief James White says some possibilities are ruled out.
We believe that this incident was not motivated by anti-Semitism and that this suspect acted alone.
Stellantis says it's matched Ford and GM's offers, but auto workers have struck the company's most profitable plant. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
Stellantis makes the popular Ram 1500 pickup at the Sterling Heights assembly plant. Sam Fiorani of Auto Forecast Solutions says that's the company's biggest moneymaker.
Taking out this one plant is really harmful to Stellantis' bottom line.
The union has also shut down production of Ford's bigger Super Duty pickups. All of General Motors' pickup truck plants are still up and running. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
There's been a series of accidents on a stretch of Interstate 55 north of New Orleans. St. John Parish Sheriff Mike Tereg.
Southbound and northbound, there appear to be about 25 accidents combined. We do have two confirmed fatalities, and there are possibly two more.
He says visibility has been poor because of smoke from wildfires. A big oil company is getting bigger. Here's CBS's Jason Brooks.
Chevron is buying Hess in an all-stock deal valued at $53 billion, less than 2 weeks after Exxon acquired Pioneer Natural Resources for $60 billion. In buying Hess, Chevron gains access to Guyana's oil fields, which are among the most productive in Latin America.
On Wall Street, the Dow is down 23 points, the NASDAQ up 107. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. 75 refugees from across the world will soon call Eau Claire their new home. According to a WEAU report, a new resettlement agency called World Relief helped arrange the new local homes for the refugees, saying it will bring more diversity to the Chippewa Valley and provide people in need with housing, medical care, and employment. The organization has also partnered with Chippewa Valley Technical College to provide the refugees with free adult English classes and help them determine their current needs and next steps. United States Congressman Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin's 3rd District has condemned the violence perpetrated by Hamas during his trip to Israel. Using his Twitter account to share updates over the weekend, he stated that anyone who shows leniency towards Hamas is morally bankrupt and deserves condemnation. He also included images in his tweets that depicted one of the settlements that was targeted by Hamas in an attack earlier this month. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Hi, this is Dr. Brad Schaefer. As a podiatrist, I can tell you no two people's feet are alike, which is why I recommend Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotic Inserts. They're customized for your feet, so you get a unique solution your feet really need, not just a one-size-fits-all insole. They're clinically proven to provide pain relief for achy feet, knees, lower back, plantar fasciitis, and heels. Take the Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotics Assessment in Walmart today. Now in the foot care aisle.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the...
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5, The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. Coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right back to the lines. Jesse of Madison was in the middle of his comments. We said we would hold this to let him finish what he had to say. Jesse of Madison, thank you for calling. You're on.
Hi. Thanks again, Matt. So it's true. You're not woke if you don't know history. And Matt, you're glazing over some very recent and memorable history. My grandfather escaped Nazi Europe with a numerical tattoo on his arm when he was only 12 years old. So don't think that I don't have some kind of perspective on this, but when you use the language of talking about the entire Palestinian people as if they're animals, that's the exact same kind of dehumanizing language that enables genocide in the first place. And I've had enough of it. You need to knock that crap off, one. And two, while nothing excuses what Hamas did this month, to say that the Israeli government has been an honest broker of peace over the last 20 years is not true. In the West Bank, illegal settlements have been being built perpetually for decades now. They have been bulldozing Palestinian neighborhoods not to find terrorists, but to make new settlements, cutting down olive groves that are some families' only source of income. These Orthodox settlers stoning grandmothers for the crime of harvesting their own olives on the wrong day of the week, and doing so with absolute impunity from local law enforcement. It's not right. It's not even handed. It's not being an honest broker for peace.
Thank you. Let me stop you right there. And I appreciate your comments. You have misstated what I said. The people that did the torture were animals. The Palestinian people are not animals. They're wonderful people. And I know many Palestinian people, both Muslims and Christians. But let me tell you something. There's a fellow named Youssef, and then I'll get to the other caller. So do not hang up, the rest of you. He was the son of a Hamas leader. This was in the, I don't know, the press a week ago. He defected and he turned on Hamas. And he said, and this is goes to the heart of why what you misstated is important. He said that Hamas is a religious sectarian movement like ISIS that wants a caliphate. It wants an Islamic state. It doesn't give a damn about the Palestinian people. The Palestinians are a national movement. That's different from a religious movement. They're a national movement. Yeah, they want their own borders. Yeah, they want a state. They should have a state. They should each have a state. A state was offered to them by Bill Clinton and Ehud Barak over 20 years ago. It was offered all that land. There wouldn't be any settlers. Nobody would be fighting about when you harvest olives. That was turned down by Yasser Arafat. Who is Israel supposed to make peace with if they won't, the other side won't recognize their right to exist? How can you, if somebody says, well, okay, that's nice, give me back my land, but I reserve the right to kill you. That's not a deal, and that is not in good faith. You're always welcome to call in. We have a difference of opinion. Thanks for calling. John of Boaz, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind, John of Boaz?
Hi, Mr. Flynn. This is John, and I have a history reminder for us all listeners. And way back when, we had President FDR Roosevelt, and he was a cripple, but he had a strong back because they said that he waited for Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor because he wanted them to attack us so he could beat the hell out of them out in the Pacific because they were expanding so far. You know, once they had Germany under control, well, anyways, our defense budget right now is equal to the interest we're paying on the debt. The overall debt interest we're paying is exactly the same amount as our
right. John, if you budget. Can hold on, just if you can, I always appreciate your calls. I think we get a little off topic, but I want to correct one thing you said about FDR, who was handicapped. FDR was handicapped, and he did not want to start a war with Japan. We had a spy in Japan named Serge, S-E-R-G-E, that was his name. He got wind of the fact that there was an attack being planned on the United States, and he communicated that to Washington, D.C. Franklin Roosevelt did not sit on it. The Secretary of the Navy and the Secretary of Defense communicated that to the head admiral in Hawaii named Husband Kimmel, kind of an odd name. His first name is Husband, H-U-S-B-A-N-D, Husband Kimmel. They said, take precautions. Husband Kimmel got court-martialed. You want to know why he got court-martialed? Because he just sat on his butt, that's why. He had that information. FDR did not conceal that information. The Japanese had to be beaten. We did beat them. And as far as the defense budget is concerned, the defense budget now is $830 billion, something of that. And you're right, the interest in the national debt is going up too. We need that defense budget. We need to pay our military. We have to be stronger than any country in the world so that they think two or three times before they attack us. John, thanks for calling. You're always welcome. Chris of Madison, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind, eh, Chris?
Matt, I enjoy your show, always have, but I got to say, I agree with the previous caller, Jesse, wholeheartedly. I think that was his name, his criticism of your of you and how you portray Palestinians. I emphatically agree with Jesse. Otherwise, you're spot on most programs. Thank you very much, Matt.
Chris, I really appreciate that call of yours, and I appreciate Jesse's call. And if I'm to be corrected, I would stand corrected. However, I do make the point, and this comes out of the son of a Hamas leader, Youssef, they call him, Y-O-U-S-E-F. He grew up under Hamas. He said Hamas is a sectarian religious sect like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda. They do not care how many Palestinians are killed. They don't care about the Palestinians. They want a sectarian state. They want a religious state. That's what they want. The Palestinian people are good people. They're a nationalist movement. They want their own state. I make the point that Bill Clinton and Ehud Barak offered them their state back 20 some odd years ago, offered them their state. And the Palestinian people wanted it, but their leadership is afraid of assassination. And they also cannot give up the idea that they want all of Israel. Israel is 9 million people, and not all of them are Jewish. There's a couple of million Arabs, Christian and Muslim. They're fine citizens. The Muslims are 1.5 billion people worldwide. And there are many fine Islamic leaders, the King of Jordan and many other, the president of Egypt can be talked to, and he can enter into agreements. But all of them are afraid that they will be assassinated if they give in too much. The concept of jihad, which means struggle, the word Islam means submission. If somebody is a jihadist like Hamas, like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda, like Al-Shabaab, they will murder anybody who tries to make peace. Here are the three things that I think have to be done in the Middle East, because only force is recognized. I got to tell you that only force is recognized. The Abraham Accords have got to be pursued, enforced, and I think the United States, with its economic power, has to make clear to the other Muslim nations they have to join the Abraham Accords. And there will be good consequences economically if they do. Make it worth their while. That's why Sudan joined. That's why Morocco joined. Number two, there has been this hatred for 1,400 years within Islam between Sunnis and Shiites, and by both of them against Christians and Jews. You can go back to the 7th century in the late 600s. They went in, they occupied Spain, the Iberian Peninsula. They tried to invade France in 732 at the Battle of Tours-Poitiers. And the only reason France didn't become a Muslim country is because the general, the emperor in charge of the French, was named Charlemagne's grandpa, Charles Martel, and he drove them out. They occupied Greece. They occupied the Balkans. European fleet sunk them. The Battle of Lepanto in the 16th century. They tried to take Vienna. The Polish cavalry came riding down. They were the best cavalry in Europe under Jan Sobieski in the late 17th century. They drove them out of Vienna. Otherwise, Austria would be a Muslim state. This has been going on forever. It's been going on forever. You can't look at this in a vacuum. The Palestinian people are fine people, but a country of 9 million people, who at its narrowest point is 9 miles, and at its widest point is 86 miles, will be annihilated by sectarian sadists like Hamas and ISIS, and even by nationalists who want to drive them out. So I think what has to happen is carrot and stick. There has to be overwhelming military force, at least threatened and possessed by the United States, Israel, and NATO. And at the same time, tremendous economic incentives, trade and so forth, to have people join the Abraham Accords. And I'll tell you one final thing. This is very controversial, and we're not going to get to it on this show. At some point, Iran has to be taken out. They are a nation of hate, not the people. Dr. Spiro, Herzl Spiro, my friend, worked in Iran. He said the people are terrific, but the sectarian Shiite leaders are full of hate. They've got to be taken out. How that is done has to be done very carefully. The good thing is they're hated by all the Sunni nations as well. They're hated by Saudi Arabia. They're hated by all of them. They exist on hate. It's a furnace of hate. They must not be permitted to get nuclear weapons. This has been a great segment. I love having all sides call in. Look forward to many more calls like that. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
What's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight...
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Gradual clearing as we head through the afternoon. We'll get to around 60 for a high today. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight down to 50. Tomorrow, scattered showers, thunderstorms with a high near 70. Tuesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible with a high of only 59. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, development in Georgia, learned over the weekend that Kenneth Chesbro, the crooked lawyer for Trump, who tried to advise about overturning the election, pled guilty to a felony. He snuck out of jail time. Otherwise, by the way, today we would be reporting on their trial. He and Sidney Powell are supposed to go to trial starting today. He blinked at the end. She blinked. She got off with a misdemeanor. He, a felony, a lawyer. You lose your license to practice if it's a felony. But having Kenneth Chesbro and Sidney Powell plead guilty in the same case is now being referred to as cheese and cracking. Cheese and cracking. They're both bad news. The good thing is they are going to testify truthfully. And you want to know why they're going to testify truthfully. Because it's part of the plea deal. And if they testify untruthfully or suddenly they say, I don't remember, they're going to go to the slammer for obstruction. And for lying is what they're going to do. One of the lines are alive. I'm going to go to the lines. But one of the things that puzzles me, and you tell me whether you're puzzled. One of the allegations against Kenneth Chesbro was that he and Rudy Giuliani had discussions and met with the chairman, then chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party. And they conspired and talked about the fake electors in Wisconsin. And they said that the meeting should be kept secret. And it was. And these two are being prosecuted in Georgia for that. Why aren't they being prosecuted in Wisconsin? They met and spoke with the chairman of the then chairman of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. They cooked up fake electors in Wisconsin. They took turns to conceal their tracks. They took turns to cover themselves. They said, keep it secret. It wasn't publicly listed on the docket, and yet it was a government conference room arranged by Voss and Fitzgerald. If Ron Johnson walked around with the fake electors in his pocket, and the Michigan state electors and his chief of staff was told by Johnson to contact Mike Pence's chief of staff, get them to him and tell him to hold up the certification. And none of that's being prosecuted in Wisconsin. Being prosecuted in Georgia, being prosecuted in Washington, D.C. that Michigan fake electors are being prosecuted in Michigan, I think that this should be prosecuted in Wisconsin. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. Western Monday, Wisco Paul.
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. My hats are off to Georgia. Not only did they save us from Trump in the election, they are saving us now from Trump. And my hands go, I've never in my wildest dreams would I think, would have thought Georgia would be doing all this, because it basically was a red state at one time. And I don't know what's going on in the state of Wisconsin. I guess they want somebody else to do all the heavy lifting, Matt. But again, my hats are off to Georgia, and thank you, Georgia. You have a great day, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Yeah, Fannie Willis, I have a lot of respect for Fannie Willis. Now, Fannie Willis is a DA. She's not an attorney general. She's not the attorney general of Georgia. She's the district attorney for Atlanta. That's all. That's what she is. She's gotten death threats. I saw an interview with her. She's a very fine person, and she looked kind of emotional. She said, I have been called the N-word more times than anybody I've ever heard of. That's what she's facing down there. And their state legislature, by the way, was debating a law, and it passed a law that let basically a commission set up by the legislature yank any DA in the middle of a case at all, just yank them. It was directed at her for prosecuting Trump. But what they did was, you seeing these guys interviewed kind of makes your skin crawl. They go, well, why would you yank Fannie Willis? Because a couple of them were pushing for it. The guy goes, well, she's not doing her job. Well, really, what do you mean she's not doing her job? She will not prosecute marijuana cases. And she will not prosecute doctors who perform abortions. Fannie Willis said, I'm prosecuting murders. I'm prosecuting sexual assaults. I'm prosecuting gangs. This is the kind of baloney that's going on down there. This is the kind of baloney that's going on down there. I'm going to take a quick call. Nick of Lake Mills, you have about a minute and a half before the break, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Nick of Lake Mills?
Hey, Matt. Thanks for touching base again on the fake electors. I'm still waiting to see what's going to happen with those. Also, I wanted to bring up Van Orden. Is he going to Israel in just a personal capacity where he is just going to come home and keep his mouth shut about what he's seen? Or is he going there on taxpayer money and, you know, undercutting the State Department and intelligence and the military and the President of the United States? And he's going to go there and, like, just whoop up a bunch of stuff? Because how is he even authorized as a state representative to conduct, like, any kind of business in Israel? I mean, Wisconsin legislator doesn't, like, say, oh, we're going to war. Or, like, in what capacity is he going there? And why, and if it's an official capacity, right, or unauthorized, how come he's not getting arrested?
Okay, I'll answer that after the break. Excellent question, as always, from you, Nick. I will answer that after the break, and it's an unusual answer. And also, a listener sent in a question that I will answer as well. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
CBS News special report. The International Red Cross says Hamas has released two female Israeli hostages. Correspondent Margaret Brennan reports that, as in the case of the two Americans released last week, Qatar's government was the go-between. National Security spokesman Admiral John Kirby says as many as 10 Americans are unaccounted for.
It is literally an hour-by-hour effort here at the White House and at the State Department to find out where these folks are and to try to make the effort to get them out and get them back.
Following a speech on economics, this reporter's question for President Biden.
Is the U.S. reporting hostages for a ceasefire deal.
The president only says we should have hostages released. Today's release comes after another humanitarian aid convoy arrived in Gaza. Doctors Without Borders director Avril Benoit.
Every day and every hour, there's not enough of those trucks bringing in the supplies. Lives are on the line.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to respond to the last caller, and I'm also then going to tell you about a text we got. Question was, good question, did Van Orden, what umbrella did Van Orden go to Israel on? I am certain that he went there as congressional travel. They get a budget, they can do it. They have to be cleared. And he did it for two reasons. Van Orden's in trouble. Remember that he first cursed and used the F word and the S word at some high school interns who were lying on the floor of the Capitol, which is how you take pictures of the rotunda up in the dome. He said, you know, lazy or little S's, you know, get the F out of here. He'd been in a it was described as a beer fundraiser. So he may have had a few pops, so what? But when you're in Congress, you don't have a few pops, if that's what he had, and then use that kind of language. I mean, those kids were overawed at being interns, and this is how they're treated. And then just the other day, about a week ago, he was getting bipartisan, Democratic and Republican congressman given a classified briefing from the White House about classified information. And Van Orden blew up at them. And the people who did it were just fairly younger White House types. And he used the F word again at them. And Jason Crow, congressman from Colorado, Democrat, a veteran, got up and he said, quote, on behalf of the entire Congress, we apologize to you for that conduct from this member here. And you know what happened? Everybody clapped, even the Republicans. This is a guy who tried to carry a loaded gun through an Iowa airport. This is a guy, the rules don't apply to him. But the question about Israel, my take on that is this. First of all, maybe he's trying to show that he has international chops, that he isn't just another hack. But I question the timing. And the reason I think he did it was because he voted twice from Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan to be speaker. And that is a vote that will hurt him in the 3rd Congressional District. It will hurt him in Trempealeau County. It'll hurt him in La Crosse. It'll hurt him in Eau Claire. That district in the past was represented by Ryan Kind, was represented by my friend Al Baldus, Democrat, and the Republicans who had it tended to be more moderate. And people over there, in my experience, one of my nephews is a proud graduate of UW-La Crosse. A lot of friends over there. And my experience in the 3rd District is that people don't take kindly to that kind of crudity. And they also, frankly, don't take kindly to Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan is the guy who covered up the sexual assault of the team by the team doctor of some young wrestlers. He would go into the bathroom and pull their pants down. They'd say, "Doc, that ain't right. Coach, coach." And Jordan was a coach. Jordan said he didn't know about it. 4 wrestlers during the speakership vote last week came out with a statement. They said he's not fit to be speaker. He's not fit to be speaker. His own wrestlers. People don't like that in the 3rd District. And they also don't like the fact that he was Trump's point guy in the Congress on overturning the election. They don't like that. So what does he do? He goes to Israel to try to, you know what, fool everybody? Like suddenly he's a big international guy? Suddenly he has international chops? No, he's pathetic, absolutely pathetic. The text we got in from the listener says, "Matt, have you seen anything during the break about the Iranian attacks on our U.S. base in Syria?" And the answer, no. Once I'm on the air, I'm not reading any news. I know that their proxies had launched attack. The Houthis in Yemen, the Shiite Houthis in Yemen had launched attacks. I know drones were sent by their proxies against Navy ships, the USS Kearney, who knocked them down. If there has been a major attack while I'm on the air, I do not know, but I'll catch up on it after the show, and then I will deal with it in the show tomorrow. But if that's a reference to these drone proxy, missile proxy attacks, before I go to the lines, I will simply say this. It would be unwise for the United States to attack Iran directly, simply because you don't want to give China the idea to attack Taiwan. You don't want to give Putin the idea of trying to attack Slovakia or Poland, that kind of thing. But if our people are attacked, and especially if any of our equipment is damaged and God forbid any of our servicemen are killed, that will give the United States, in the eyes of the international community, the right to attack Iran. And Iran is despised. It's despised by the West, it's despised by everybody, it's despised by the Sunnis. And I would advise, if we did that, hit 3 things: their military structure, their atomic bomb labs, and the people who run their country, and get them out. They're full of hate. so full of hate. We're going to the lines. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thank you for calling us your mind, Bob.
Well, it seems like beginning to hear some of these buzzwords like crusaders, and it seems like that's what they think is going to happen. That like the crusaders, they took Jerusalem for maybe a century or two, and then they got pushed out. They think that way about Israel, I'm afraid. A lot of them do. Can you get them off that thinking? That's the trick.
That's the question. And you'd like to do it not in a military fashion. I recounted earlier a guy, a good friend of mine who passed away recently, psychiatrist, who actually lived part of the year in Israel. He was descended from a long line of rabbis in Germany, had an apartment in Jerusalem. He and his wife, he is Dr. Herzl Spiro, just a wonderful guy. And he revamped the mental health system in Milwaukee County under the speaker or under the county exec at the time, Bill O'Donnell. In any event, he told me that he'd spent time in Iran. This is before the Shah was thrown out. Now, this is back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And he said they're wonderful people. And the Iranian people I've met, I agree, are wonderful people. And there's nothing wrong with them as a people. But this sectarian government has taken over, and they scare everybody. They torture people. They're a racist state. Now, listen to this very carefully. You've heard about these women, very attractive young women, who either don't wear their hijab at all or don't wear it correctly, who are arrested and beaten to death. That happened on a subway and it happened in a jail. Everyone that that happens to is a Kurd, not an Iranian. The Kurdish people are a separate people, a separate race. The Iranians believe that they are the original Aryans. That's why they named their country Iran, Aryan. What were the original Aryans? They weren't Germans. This Wagner stuff about, you know, the ring cycle and women with helmets and belting out these arias had nothing to do with it. The Aryan originally was a term we used to describe Indo-Iranian people from India and Iran. Those are the Aryans. The Kurds are not Aryans. Europeans are not Aryans. Germans may think they are, but they're not seen as Aryans by the Indo-European, by the Indo-Iranians. And whenever these thugs on their police force see an attractive girl they want to rape and beat to death, it's always a Kurd. They grab one, beat the hell out of him, murder him. It's a racist, sectarian state. It's a danger to Western civilization. And it's been a danger to everybody's civilization for thousands of years. Because you may remember what their name originally was, Persia. Persia. And Persia has been the thorn of the side of humanity for thousands of years. If they attack the United States and kill any of our service members, it gives us the green light to take out their fleet, to take out their nuclear facilities, and to take out their government. And hopefully it gets replaced with a decent government that they once had. Now, I want to get to another subject. Today is October 23rd. November 17, the government shuts down. 25 days. A little more than 3 weeks. When that happens, our military is not going to be paid. Our employees are not going to be paid. We get shut down because of the Republican Party. The Republican Party and a minority in this country within the Republican Party have figured out a way to continue to try to destroy the United States. And it's by rules, rules in the House and rules in the Senate. For instance, we still don't have an ambassador to Israel, believe it or not. We still don't have an ambassador to Egypt, believe it or not. I'm not kidding. Israel and Egypt right now. Because Rand Paul has put a hold on them. there are well over 300 admirals and generals that haven't been promoted because Tommy Tuberville of Alabama put a hold on it. When an admiral or general is promoted, he takes his command staff with him. They have wives or husbands and kids. They're in schools. They're going to move. They're going to move to a new location. They got to sell their houses. All of that is on hold because of Tommy Tuberville. You may remember there was a coup in Niger a couple of months ago. We didn't have an ambassador there because of Rand Paul. As a result, during the coup, an Islamic group took over the president, kicked him out, and allied themselves with Russia and are killing Christians. The president of Niger had allied himself with the United States and didn't kill Christians. That's all because of Rand Paul. J.D. Vance has put a hold on U.S. attorney appointments. The rules of the Senate let one senator do all this, just one. That was passed in the days when we had patriots in the Senate. You might disagree, but you wouldn't shut down your government. The House has a rule that only the Speaker can put a bill on the floor. It's a stupid rule. Why can't anybody put a bill on the floor? But a handful of sociopaths, Matt Gaetz and the others, won't vote for any Republican other than a Trump Republican. So the Republican only gets 207 or 8 votes, not 217. Both of these rules are unconstitutional. They can be overcome by a majority vote, but they are put in to block majority votes. Now, part of it is because of prestige in the Senate. Any one of the Democrats who are in the majority could propose repeal of the unanimous consent rule, but they won't do it. If you see any one of them or a moderate Republican give an interview, they say it's terrible that Tommy Tuberville is doing this. It's terrible Rand Paul's doing it. It's more than terrible. It's unconstitutional. It's criminal. It's criminal. But the reason they don't overturn the unanimous consent rule is because of the prestige of being in the most exclusive club in the world, and they secretly like it and don't give a damn about the consequence. And that's happening in the House too, and I'm very, very tired of it. Very, very tired of it. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Opt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
Gradual clearing as we head through the afternoon. We'll get to around 60 for a high today. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight down to 50. Tomorrow, scattered showers, thunderstorms with a high near 70. Tuesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible with a high of only 59. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
When the sun reveals. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. One good piece of news. I just got a text from a listener. It says, Matt, there's no new attack from Iran on the U.S. that I can see. The reference was probably the smaller incursions you mentioned. That's good news. So we can relax. No imminent war with Iran. I also, before we get to the next topic, want to follow up one final detail of what I last was speaking of. Back in the 1870s, Ulysses Grant was elected president in 1868, and then he was elected to a second term in 1872. In the early 1870s, he was a magnificent president. His reputation takes a beating. They say he abused alcohol. That's overstated, by the way. They say that he was inefficient in how he conducted his administration as president, even though he was a great general, and that some of the people under him were corrupt and all that. I'm not going to get into all that, but what he did do when he became president, Andrew Johnson before him had Southern sympathies, was a Southerner. And he let the Confederates go back in, this time not as Confederates, but as Ku Klux Klan, and murder Black people. And what happened was that Ulysses Grant put a stop to it. He sent federal troops down there, and he stopped them doing it. Although then after the 1876 election, when Rutherford Hayes beat Sam Tilden, that got reversed. But in any event, the Confederates, when Grant was president, one of them said, "We were crazy to take up arms against the North. We couldn't beat the North. We should have stayed in Congress and destroyed it from within." And that is what the Republican Party is doing right now in the Congress and the Senate. Go to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill?
Matt, congratulations. I'm glad you're on 2 hours. We need you even longer than that, but I'm glad you're on for at least 2 hours. A quick question, because you've been right about, I'd say, most of this. You said when they went after Trump, you got to get the small fish to roll over in the bigger fish and so on and so forth. Well, that's happening as we speak. Give me your best guess how this is going to turn out, and do you think it could be the implosion of the Republican Party? Your thoughts. I'll hang up.
Yeah, excellent question. And here's the deal. Some of them are already weaseling and backtracking. Chesbro has a lawyer. You may have seen the guy. He's a bald guy with this enormous beard. He looks like he could have a whole flock of birds nest in it. And the guy goes, Chesbro didn't roll over on Trump. He just pled guilty. He'll tell the truth, but he's not fingering anybody, turning anybody in. That is something that is legally very fraught for Chesbro. Because Chesbro said, "I will testify truthfully." He gave what's called a proffer, which means that he had to tell the government what he would say. If he deviates from that and that's eyelash, he's going to get charged and go to prison. He pled because he didn't want to go to prison. I think there are two reasons why he may have done that, had his lawyers say that. One is because he's afraid he'll be killed. In other words, if Trump thinks that he's going to rat on him, he may be killed. Remember that Michael Cohen, when he testified in Congress, drove himself down from New York in disguise. He had a baseball cap, sunglasses, and he was afraid to be killed. This is mafia stuff. So I think that Trump, they have flipped on him, but some of them are intimidated and they're going to try to weasel out or wiggle out like Sidney Powell. they're not stupid enough to lie, but they may suddenly have memory issues and all that. So, Bill, do not assume that there's anything honest about the way that Trump does stuff. The second thing is that concerns me is if you look at this objectively, he's been indicted in four courts. He settled the Trump University fraud claim for $90 million. He's fraud on the hoof. He has been found by a jury to have sexually assaulted E. Jean Carroll. He's on the Access Hollywood case saying he grabbed all these women between the legs. And yet he is many points ahead in the Republican primary. The question in my mind, because if a guy like that were the Democratic nominee, I would never vote for him, and he wouldn't be 50 points ahead in the Democratic primary. There's something going on where people basically know he's a fraud, a crook, a thief, but it's okay with him because of some other issues. And I think those are other issues, are race and immigration. And that's all they care about, and that's very dangerous because immigration is a legitimate issue. The immigration laws are not being enforced, and we don't have decent immigration laws. But the second thing that concerns me is this the implosion of the Republican Party? Yes and no. It's not the implosion of the Trump fascist wing of the Republican Party. But I think you put your finger on something that's very, very important. And that is the Republican Party is split, in my view, beyond redemption. The fact that you have only two people among the nine speaker candidates who voted to certify Joe Biden, and the front runner, Tom Emmer, is one of them, and he's being attacked viciously by Trump, is going to induce some Republican congressman not to vote for Emmer. And we will not have a speaker ever. I just saw a news flash that came across that this talk about irreverent, that Trump said that only Jesus Christ could be elected speaker. He may think that's funny. I don't think that's funny. I think that is sacrilegious, but I also think this guy has such a big head that he thinks no rules apply to him. No rules apply to him. That is my fear, that there's enough people in the Republican Party to nominate him because all they care about is immigration and race, and there's no leadership in the Republican Party to steer them differently. Joe Biden is a leader. Joe Biden is a uniter. Joe Biden is the most experienced president we've had, including George Washington, on the workings of the Senate, on diplomacy. He's been at it for 50 years. It's very, very important to stand behind Joe. He's done a terrific job. He has basically done a better job in curing inflation. It's a worldwide inflation than any leader in the world. And he put together alliances, NATO, in the Pacific and elsewhere. I could go on and on, Bill. I could go on and on. I can't. Don't have the time, but thank you for calling. We're coming to the end of the show. It's a great show. Great callers, as always. Delighted to be doing 2 hours. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.